Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
It is time now for our Sustainable Singapore segment. And it's an interesting one because if you pick up the copy of the Straits Times this morning, there's a rather shocking picture that will greet you.
Yes, it's a picture of Greenland, which has lost a chunk of glacier larger than Paris. And I think it's images like this that bring home more than ever before the need to do something now about climate change.
So where does technology come in? I mean, can technology tackle the problem of climate change? Well, there's this company called, a green tech company, in fact, called Envision, and their mission is solving challenges for a sustainable future.
In fact, it's accredited by Singapore's Infocom Media Development Authority as a high-growth company for both the local and international energy management ecosystem. And this is as Envision Digital pioneers a world-class artificial intelligence of things operating system. It's called ENOS.
Interesting. What does the artificial intelligence of things have to do with saving the planet? And, you know, what kind of solutions are being used in Singapore's Smart Nation initiative as well with regard to that? Let's get straight to our guest, who is Sylvie Uziel, who is the international president of Envision Digital. You are speaking to us live from Paris. It's 2 a.m. there. Good morning to you.
Very good morning to you.
I'm curious. Okay, so we know Envision Digital is a global artificial intelligence of things technology leader. You guys are headquartered in Singapore. You've got about 500 employees across 12 offices. But I want to draw back reference to our papers this morning where there's that photo of that glacier, you know, breaking off. It's a little bit bigger than the size of Paris. In your opinion, Sylvie, is it possible for artificial intelligence of things to have prevented something like that had it existed earlier?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, we're not going to replay the past, but I definitely think what's really important is to take actions today to actually change the curve, I would say, change the trend and to reduce emissions when we still can. As you said, it's quite an emergency to contain the global heating, to contain the rise of ocean levels. And I definitely believe AIoT, it's what we are doing actually, can support decarbonization end-to-end.
Okay, so Sylvie, then, could you break it down further for us and put it in really simple terms? How does AIoT actually contribute to sustainability, and how does this collaboration enhance systems?
Yeah, I think there are basically four dimensions. One is electrification, moving from fossil fuels to electricity, notably for electromobility, so supporting the deployment of electric vehicles. The second topic is generating green electricity, because electrification without green electricity may reduce the emission of the car, but not solve the whole problem end to end. So here we are, for instance, supporting solar generation in Japan by providing monitoring and optimization solutions to ORIX, which is the largest Japanese developer of solar generation, solar electricity, with 82 utility-scale farms. We are supporting SolarVest in Malaysia. We are supporting TNB, as well as many global players. We are helping Total. Actually, we have a joint venture with Total to develop rooftop solar in China jointly, so green electricity generation. Third case is ensuring this electricity, which is injecting into the electricity grid, can be smoothly integrated by the grid. Because one of the challenges of renewable energy is that it's intermittent. You cannot turn on the sun or switch off the wind, which means that you have as a grid to absorb supply and demand shocks, you know, supply shocks in the sense of intermittent generation, but also demand shocks in the sense of unknown electric vehicle consumption, for instance, which was not observed in the past, which patterns are not well known, which means that the grid, your job to keep demand and supply in balance is more and more difficult, and even more with decentralized energy generation. In the past, you had the massive plants, which were controllable, injecting energy when you needed it. Today, you've got decentralized generation producing energy when the sun is shining or the wind is blowing, which is obviously more challenging. So here we support the grid with this new challenge. We, for instance, deploy microgrid for PTT on their VSTEC Institute Science of Technology, which is a great example of local prosuming, so producing and consuming electricity in one place. We support PSA in this balance between production and generation locally. Microsoft Asia, with all their buildings, to be able to cope with the electrification of their vehicles, having local production and addressing the challenges of the shock created on the grid by all those electric vehicles pulling energy from the grid. And last but not least, the reinforced use case is really energy efficiency. So it's nice to electrify, to produce green electricity, to make sure the grid can actually cope with it. But also it's important to make sure we efficiently consume energy. So here we are optimizing buildings, infrastructures, plants in terms of their energy consumption, avoiding waste. And our laboratory, I would say our living lab, is our own headquarters in Keppel Bay Tower, which is optimized from an HVAC standpoint. And sorry, heating, ventilation, and air conditioning for those who don't know what HVAC is. And we have shown that AI and IoT can actually optimize even very modern buildings, which were designed to be efficient. You can even go one click further by adding smart controls, smart actions to those buildings.
Sylvie, you talk about, you keep mentioning you guys' support. I assume that this is where the operating system comes into play, right? The NOS.
Yes, exactly. So NOS operating system is actually gathering data from connected objects. So,
okay. Is it as simple as, you know, installing software, or does some kind of hardware have to be involved as well?
So it depends. We can gather information from existing sensors. We can also, for some clients in some occasions, deploy additional sensors. Okay. And the actual challenge we are solving is exactly that, yeah. Moving from objects to the cloud, moving from controlling control systems to actually optimizing what needs to be controlled.
Right.
Sylvie, one of the so we talked to you about the Greenland story that's in the news today. Another story that's very much in the news is Apple, which has launched an initiative with the Singapore government which will reward people for tracking their health. Now, I'm thinking, with technology like this and the kind of thing that Envision Digital is doing, can we envisage a future where we can work to track our emissions on a daily basis?
Yeah, definitely. One of the things we do in the buildings we equipped is feeding back to the users the environmental data. So how is the building doing in terms of energy consumption, but also air quality, for instance. So I absolutely believe awareness is super important. Measuring is super important. And we need to align, you know, government initiatives, company initiatives, and individual initiatives, which is one of the big challenges. It's a very systemic challenge, so we need to address it at all scales.
Further that, and I want to ask you about how do we, you know, this is, you say this is AI, and it's, we've got the Internet of Things, but on an individual basis, because you've talked it from a very macro point of view, can this kind of technology help shift individual behavior? Because unless we shift that, it's very difficult to do the macro stuff.
Yeah, I think, you know, one aspect is definitely electrification in your day-to-day life. Mm. So making sure, you know, you drive an EV and all your energy consumption is as electrified as possible. It's also taking proactive steps in terms of locally producing your green electricity. It's more challenging for some of the housing in Singapore, but we see more and more around the world prosuming, so people equipping their own houses with small wind solutions or solar solutions, rooftop solar, distributed generation type of things, which is definitely taking a very proactive step. And the last one is your energy efficiency, so making sure you are actually not overcooling, overheating, overusing light, which is a place where definitely automation can help you, and feeding back information to users is also important. But what we think is really machine-to-machine automation is the most efficient way to address those challenges. So it's nice to have awareness and expect people to take action. It's even easier to create an environment into which machines are actually taking those actions, switching off the light or the air conditioning, anticipating the weather change to actually not cool too long if you see that rain is coming, which is what our artificial intelligence can do with high-resolution weather forecasts, for instance, and which human being probably would not pay attention to or wouldn't do in such an efficient way. So it's nice to have awareness. It's also nice to automatically control the environment for users.
Actually, it's interesting you bring up awareness, Sylvie, because during COVID-19, that kind of awareness was really heightened. Did you notice anything, you know, where data is concerned or behavioral pattern is concerned? I mean, the kind of impact on renewable energy demand, perhaps, around Singapore or across Asia?
Yeah, clearly we've got three learnings, I think, from COVID-19. So the first one is, we only saw a reduction in global emissions by 20%, which means, you can shut down more or less all the global economy and you only reduce emissions by 20%, which means Malthusianism is not the way out. You need to find a new, growth model, which is actually green and and sustainable, I would say. The second topic is we need stimulus and we need to actually reboot the economy, I would say. And green can fuel growth in two ways. One is, of course, investments. Green techs are definitely a very significant part of the overall economy and can generate a lot of growth as such as an industrial sector and a lot of innovation, some of it being driven in Singapore. But the second topic also is green electricity is unlike oil and gas following a cost decrease curve. It's following Moore's law, it's technology, so every year it's cheaper and cheaper, more and more affordable, which means it can grant access to the many and support global growth and support better lives for more and more citizens. So it's really interesting that you can, in the same time, invest in a sector which is generating jobs and also giving access to more and more people to energy, which is a prerequisite for development. And last but not least, COVID-19 also showed a clear challenge regarding the grid resilience. What I was mentioning, in many, many countries, you had less energy needs, less demand because industry stopped, basically, and you were still generating renewable energy. So, for instance, in UK, outside of the region, you saw the balance being so challenging, to maintain between demand and supply that the UK had to activate emergency connections to the rest of Europe to avoid blackout. So we see this flexibility, this smart electrification I was mentioning, leveraging AI and IoT is critical because the intermittency challenge can be addressed when renewables are marginal in the energy supply. In Singapore, as you know, 95% of the supply is still gas stations. But the more you increase the renewable share, the more you need to actually do it in a smart way because you need to keep this this famous challenging balance. And in the UK, they reached more than 50% renewable energy in the mix, because of demand dropping, and it really created challenges, with near to blackout situations.
Yeah, and that's sort of the backstory to people working from home and everyone being at home and being online, wasn't it? That a lot of people didn't talk about, but we need to when it comes to sustainability. I just wanted to ask you, I mean, obviously you're sitting in Paris, it's early in the morning, but just in the wider context, the European Union has been at the forefront, really, of the push towards more sustainable practices in business and economic practices. Because you're based out of Singapore, in terms of the company, you're in a good spot to make the comparison. So how is Singapore doing on not just a global scale, but on a regional scale?
Yeah. So in fact, I'm based in Singapore. I'm actually now sitting in Paris, where we do a lot of things, out of Europe, as you said, to contribute to electrification. When it comes to Singapore, definitely Singapore took very strong commitments to contain global warming, to contain the rise of sea level. So an interministerial committee was created, as you know, in 2007. $100 billion Sing dollar investments were committed and are being invested in topics around importing solar energy from the region, importing solar energy from Australia, and electrifying. I think the role of Singapore is prominent in the region in terms notably of driving innovation around solar, around the combination of solar and other sources of energy, and around upcoming hydrogen. So Singapore, being a leading lab, being clearly the local Silicon Valley, I would say, can really drive this innovation for the region and import energy from the neighboring countries such as Malaysia and Thailand.
We've been speaking with Sylvie Uziel, International President at Envision Digital. Sylvie, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.